So let's finish out the angiogenesis cycle by talking about lenvatinib. What is it? What do we know about it in HCC?
So lenvatinib is also another fascinating drug. Now, I think this is definitely a more potent VEGFR inhibitor, but on the other hand, it also inhibits other relevant targets as well. And the trial was actually designed very ambitiously in the first-line setting against sorafenib with non-inferiority as well as superiority design. In the end, the drug met the primary endpoint of non-inferior to sorafenib for overall survival. But if you look at the secondary endpoint, including response rate, PFS, TTB, and definitely there's data suggesting that this drug is more active than sorafenib for secondary endpoints. So if you look at the subgroup, I think patients with hepatitis B subgroup seem to benefit from this drug more. But having said that, you know, the overall population, the intent to treat population, and seem to suggest that this drug, you know, is comparing, you know, really comparably to sorafenib in all subgroup look at.
Do you see this becoming available to treat HCC? And if so, how would you use it?
So the trial was designed in the first-line setting, you know, as you recall. You know, as you also know, this is actually a very rapidly evolving landscape for the HCC management. We have sorafenib currently, but also, you know, we also know that nivolumab is being tested in the first-line setting. So I can think about two scenarios. If nivolumab is positive against sorafenib, I will definitely predict a lot of clinicians will perhaps use the PD-1 antibody in the first-line setting. However, if the trial did not meet the primary endpoint, I think the question still is valid. How do you select sorafenib versus lenvatinib versus perhaps still some clinician will still like to use checkpoint inhibitors? And so I think, you know, if you're just focusing on the discussion, how do you select sorafenib versus lenvatinib, I think you have to really take into the consideration of perhaps patients' underlying etiology. I think we have definitely tremendous data suggesting sorafenib, you know, perhaps has, you know, better efficacy for patients with underlying hepatitis C infection. And also, as we discussed, that, you know, lenvatinib seemed to have perhaps improved efficacy for patients with underlying HBV etiology. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, based on the improved secondary endpoint, including response rate, if I have a patient with high tumor burden who seem to actually really require a quick radiological response and also to alleviate the disease-related symptoms, perhaps I'll be in favor of starting with lenvatinib. But having said that, you know, I think both agents will be in clinical practice.
My recollection from what I heard from thyroid people was that other than hypertension, which, you know, kind of should be controllable, that from a quality life point of view, lenvatinib was pretty well tolerated. Is that your impression?
I think lenvatinib is another TKI. I think hypertension definitely is higher in terms of incidence than sorafenib. But the skin problem is less in comparison with sorafenib. But we also need to monitor the hepatic function, make sure that, you know, the liver function profile is doing well and with patients exposing to lenvatinib. But overall, it's a drug that we have, you know, good confidence to administer in the clinic as well.